Blog Talk Radio.
The opinions and views expressed by the host and guest are not necessarily the views and opinions of the Blake Radio Network. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You are listening to Rainbow Soul. BlakeRadio.com.
Good evening, boys and girls and moms and dads. This is definitely a very special week. We've had all of the families and all of the friends all come over today because it is a very special time. And that November 27th, the whole weekend is a time that the family is all together. And I want to play you a song that will at least start you off to thinking about it. Try to guess.
Over the river and through the wood to grandmother's house we go. The horse knows the way to carry the sleigh through white and drifted snow. Over the river and through the wood, oh how the wind will blow. It stings the toes and bites the nose as over the ground we go. Over the river and through the woods, you have a full day of play. Oh, hear the bells ring, ting-a-ling-ling, for it's Thanksgiving Day. Over the river and through the woods, trot past my dapple gray. Spring o'er the ground just like a hound, hooray for Thanksgiving Day. Over the river and through the woods, to grandmother's house we go. The horse knows the way to carry the sleigh through white and drifted snow. Over the river and through the woods, oh how the wind will blow. It stings the toes and bites the nose as over the ground we go. Over the river and through the woods and straight through the barnyard gate. It seems that we go so dreadfully slow, it is so hard to wait. Over the river and through the woods, now grandma's cap I spy. Hooray for the fun the pudding's done, hooray for the pumpkin pie. Hooray for the fun the pudding's done, hooray for the pumpkin pie.
We want to thank you so much for joining the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul. And, of course, this is the Aunt Jewel's Bedtime Stories. So, of course, listening to that song, you now know what holiday it is. It is Thanksgiving. And it is a tradition that all families and family friends and loved ones come together during this time. And of course, going to Grandma's house. This is a special time for her, too, because she's been so busy making sure that everything's ready and being able to have the grandkids and her kids there too. So we want to thank you again for coming, and you know that it must be Sunday because this is the day that we have our family tradition with having bedtime. So we know that we have mommies and daddies and getting us all ready for bed. And because it is in November, the sun comes down a lot sooner than it did before. But thank you, and I know that you really appreciated that. We also will have our co-host, Starfish. So she'll be ready to tell you because she's going through over the river and through the woods too to find Grandma. So I want to thank you for being able to be there with us today and sharing it because this is going to be a very, very special time. And we have some wonderful stories that we'd like to be able to share with you. And having the opportunity to set aside a certain week, Thursday, it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, time for all of us to be able to sit down and show our appreciation with how much we love and care for people who been so special in our lives. I know that you have had someone too. And you can call us to let us know about how that person has been special for you. So things that have happened, I know that in New York City we have things that happen that are very special. And matter of fact, it's been over an 80-year tradition of things happening, and that is the Macy's Thanksgiving Parade. And we'll talk about that, and we have a wonderful book that will explain who even thought of that. Because, of course, boys and girls, Aunt Jill's Bedtime Stories is a time where you're able to relax, sit back, get in the bed, get your cozy pajamas, and you snuggle up with your pillow pet or your toy or your teddy bear or your doll or your soldier or whoever you want to, or even sometimes moms and dads and grandma. Being able to share that. So we'll have a book called The Balloons Over Broadway, and another book that will also explain Oh, What a Thanksgiving, and the other one, The Memory Cupboard, A Thanksgiving Story. The thing that's so wonderful about this is that you can be able to read along and also be able to get these books, because I'm sure that you'll want to be able to keep it and read over it with your parents. Now, all of these books were located in the community library, which you'll be able to do, too, with your mom and dad and grandma, and have that little special trip and go over there and then be able to enjoy all the wonderful, wonderful books.
There's turkey in the oven, the mashed potatoes bubbling, watching football with our family and our friends. We smell the food a-cooking, and Grandpa keeps a-looking. Grandma pushes him out of the kitchen again. The little cousins, they all zoom, screaming loud from room to room. We don't seem to care as they all play, 'cause we know that like an autumn breeze, the years blow by and these memories are something we hold on to every day. There's nothing like the spirit of Thanksgiving. Reminds us of the love that we all share. It's more than just a meal. It's more like how you feel when everyone you love is sitting there. Now we pile it on our plate, looks like a miniature buffet. So many different foods all sitting in one place. And the gravy covers all just like a tiny waterfall. Somehow I shove it all into my face. And the men begin to quibble as the talking turns political. And Grandma puts a stop to the arguing. Then the women talk about families, and that's when everyone agrees it's a total family gathering. There's nothing like the spirit of Thanksgiving. Reminds us of the love that we all share. It's more than just a meal. It's more like how you feel when everyone you love is sitting there. Never eat again. The uncles all are snoozing as our football team is losing, and we're cruising from the shot of tryptophan. Then we smell the coffee dripping, then everyone is sipping, 'cause we all know what's coming very soon. Every sugary surprise, apple, pumpkin, pecan pie, somehow I don't know how we made the room. There's nothing like the spirit of Thanksgiving. Reminds us of the love that we all share. It's more than just a meal. It's more like how you feel when everyone you love is sitting there.
It's more than just a meal. It's more like how you feel when everyone you love is sitting there.
Thanksgiving.
Isn't it such a special time, Aunt Jewel? I'm so glad that you're joining us because you also are having family and friends over too, just like we are, and the boys and girls all across the land.
Definitely. Thanksgiving is a time for togetherness.
And then also gives you the opportunity to be able to show your appreciation, to say why you, the family member or your friend or your loved one or just your teddy bear or your doll, why they're so special for you. It gives you that time to be able to say that. Because one of the things that I know that during that time, you don't want to be left alone. You want to be able to have somebody else to be able to share that. And I do know, Starfish, that people really appreciate it when they hear that.
Definitely. It just warms their heart.
And the other thing that makes it so special, too, that when this is happening, is to be able to, I know it makes me feel really good, is to be able to have food, a feast. Because when you share your food, because usually when you're doing that, you take a lot of time to make sure that it's very comforting to the person that you're having. And having the family all sit down together and share what they like or what they don't like, and putting all of your special care in it to make you feel so proud that you could be able to share it. Because it makes you so feel so good. I know that when I had my daughters over and my family friends, and when you see them eating it and you see what's their face, you see their face and you see that they're even asking you for one and two and three helpings, you feel very, very satisfied.
Definitely. I know when I was under the water in the sea with all my sea friends and sea fish, it's just great time to get together and laugh and share fun memories. And I also have an aunt who brings questions at the table. So you just get to learn more and more about each other.
Wow, that is something. And
yes.
You know what, do you share? When do you share it? After you eat? Before you eat? You pull names? What do you do?
You share it before you eat and right behind your name tag at your seated placemat, there's a question for you. Questions like, what animal would you possibly want it to be if you can choose any animal in the world? Or what are your greatest accomplishments? What is your biggest fear? Just really questions that make you want to think.
And it sounds like it also, Starfish, gives you an opportunity to get to know one of your family members just even a little bit more.
Exactly. And the reward after is to just share a big feast right then and there after you open up those great stories and great experiences.
And what do you think about when Thanksgiving comes around in November or even this Thanksgiving? What kind of things that let you know that this is Thanksgiving?
Well, first, everyone gets turkeys, but some people change and mix up and might get a duck or salmon, but a turkey is a big thing that most individuals have for Thanksgiving.
And we played a song in talking about Thanksgiving and being able to have a turkey on your table and sweet potato pie or pumpkin pie or dressing or corn, all those things make it really festive, and you just can't wait to come to the table.
Exactly. And like we talked about last Sunday, Thanksgiving is also about giving. I had one of my starfish friends go from sea animal, from school of fish, all different types of animals, family to family, and bring them a whole feast. 250 families. Can you believe that?
Wow. That is so, I think that's really a great thing to do, to be able to share and not just only think of yourself, but think of other people.
Exactly.
And I also know some people and families, and especially churches, that will put together dinners that other people who are not as fortunate as some, that they'll be able to have a Thanksgiving feast too.
It's true. Everyone should be able to have Thanksgiving feast, no matter where you live or who you are or where you come from.
And I want to read a story to the boys and girls. And I know that all of you are getting ready to prepare for bed, because that's, after all, that's what it's called, Aunt Jewel's Bedtime Stories. And I know that some of you are already putting your pajamas on, your special PJs. And I know that some of you are getting ready to brush your teeth and make sure that you get those back molars back there, or the front teeth, so that they're shining so much. And I know that they're getting ready to do that, preparing for bed. But while you're preparing for bed, and before you get ready to do that, let's just listen to one story so we know what is Thanksgiving and why do we celebrate it. There's this book that we were able to get from the community library, and the librarian was so helpful, and it's called Oh, What a Thanksgiving. It's by Stephen Kroll. It was illustrated by S.D. Schindler. And it was published by Scholastics. So, boys and girls, after you listen to this, you'll be really, really smart. And also, starfish, don't you know one thing that happens when you go to sleep and you dream? What is it?
Well, when you dream, your imagination can go anywhere.
Exactly. You said the right answer. You got it right. And this story is about David, and he wanted to be able to have an imagination. Well, actually, he does have an imagination, but he always looks at one thing and turns into another. So it makes it so much fun to learn. And we're going to be able to find out what is David's imagination with Thanksgiving. And here we go. Now, David was a boy with a wonderful imagination. When his teacher, Mr. Sanderson, began describing Plymouth Colony and the first Thanksgiving, David thought he could imagine just what it would be like if he was there. And I bet that happens to you, boys and girls, when you think about an event or think about a place, and you can close your eyes and just imagine or think of yourself being there. Now, Mr. Sanderson said that in their search for religious freedom, the pilgrims fled from England to Holland. Now, then in the year of 1620, they sailed all the way across the ocean to America on a ship called the Mayflower. Now, going home on the school bus, David imagined he was arriving in Plymouth Harbor with the other pilgrims. The voyage had been hard, but how exciting it was to be there at last. Plymouth Rock disappeared. The bus arrived at the David stop. He imagined he was getting off in front of a small cottage built during the first year of Plymouth Colony. It was made of wooden posts, sticks, and straw mixed with clay, and a rough wooden clayborn. He had a roof and a chimney made of clay and sticks. Imagine that, boys and girls, and you can think of that too while you're going to celebrating Thanksgiving. How would it be if you were at the very first Thanksgiving? Well, but the cottage disappeared. just like the bus and the ship disappeared. And there was David's house. It was big and white. Now down the steps came David's father. David, he called. Some help me. Come and help me. Get the turkey for Grandma. Okay, said David. Now David and his father walked towards the car. Dad, said David, why do we eat turkey at Thanksgiving? And I bet you boys and girls, you've probably asked yourself that. And I know Starfish has asked the same question to some of the kids that she sees. Well, said Dad, your mom likes turkey. I like turkey. Everybody likes turkey. But we don't know if the pilgrims even had turkey at the first Thanksgiving. There's no proof. Well, we're having it anyway. Get in the car, said Dad. Now, David imagined he was off to hunt wild turkeys for the first Thanksgiving. It was a lot more fun than going to the supermarket. David stretched his bucket as he entered into the woods. The car pulled into the shopping mall. Come on, said David. Let's hurry. They went into the supermarket. They walked down the long aisle filled with food. I bet the pilgrims would have liked something like this, said Dad. I don't think so, said David. I think they like doing the harvesting themselves. David imagined he was helping gathering corn for the first Thanksgiving. The sun was shining and everyone was happy. Many pilgrims had died during the past winter, but the survivors were well, and the first harvest was bountiful. There was much to celebrate, much to be thankful for. Oh, David, said Dad, pick out a can of cranberry sauce, would you please? Now, David went to the shelf and picked out the smooth kind, the kind that slid out into the lump shape of the can. He handed the can to his father. Said Dad, this is fine, but Grandma likes the whole berries. Better get one of those, too. The pilgrims didn't even have cranberry sauce at the first Thanksgiving, said David. Never mind, said Dave, Dad, we're having two kinds. Now, when Dave and his father got home, Mom said, hey, that's a great-looking turkey. I think so, said Dad. It's okay, said David. What's the matter, David, asked Mom. Aren't you excited about Thanksgiving? I guess so, said David, but it's not going to be a real Thanksgiving, not like the pilgrims when they had their Thanksgiving. But everyone's coming, said Mom. Uncle Ned will do card tricks, Aunt Marie in from Omaha, and don't you want to see your baby cousin Catherine? Come on now, help me get the turkey ready. Now, boys and girls, you're going to be seeing all of your aunts and uncles and cousins and friends and grandmas and aunts. You know, you're just going to have such a great time. You're probably really excited about it. But, you know, despite the fact that Mom was trying to convince him that it would be fun, David just wasn't convinced. As his mother bustled around the kitchen, he imagined her cooking in the Plymouth cottage. The fire was on stones under the chimney. They would keep the coals burning all night. Early tomorrow, they would roast the turkey and turn it with the fire irons. What a feast there was going to be. David's mother was wearing a cap, a white collar, and an apron over her long skirt. She had to be careful to keep her skirt out of the fire. Now that night, as David was getting ready for bed, he couldn't help but think how much more exciting the first Thanksgiving must have been. David woke up early in the morning. He imagined he was in a narrow bed on a mattress filled with straw. Across the cottage was one carved chair. There was one small table and a large trunk in the corner. He could smell the smoke from the cooking fire. David, said his mother, breakfast ready. David stopped imagining as he was in the Plymouth colony. He pulled on his bathrobe and he rushed to the den. His parents had already started eating. They were watching the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade on TV. And boys and girls, we had already said that we're going to have a book on that. And we'll talk about it a little bit more so you'll understand where it started from. I know that you're excited. And you're excited about hearing the end of this story. There was Yogi Bear and Mickey Mouse balloons floating by. "This is always so great," said Mom. "Yeah," said David, happily sitting down to his eggs and toast. "It's still not like the first Thanksgiving, though." David imagined he heard the sound of marching feet. He looked out the window, and there was Captain Miles Standish, Commander-in-Chief of the Pilgrim Army. He looked a lot like Mr. Sanderson. Behind him marched two lines of soldiers. And around them, the feast was just beginning. There were long tables piled with ducks and goose and venison, with clams and cornbread and wild plums for dessert. There were wrestling matches and races being run. And then there was also the chief, and his 90 of his braves were arriving to celebrate the peace made with Governor Bradford's during the past year. Oh, what a parade. Oh, what a Thanksgiving. The Macy's parade was over, and David helped his parents clear the breakfast table. "Okay, David," said Dad, when they were done, "time to get dressed. We got to be at Grandma's pretty soon." "Do I have to wear my blue sweater?" David said. "Yes," said Mom, "it's cold out. But I hate that sweater. It's itches and it looks terrible." "You won't have to wear it for long," said Mom, "and I think it looks terrific." David went to his room. He couldn't stand that dumb blue sweater. He hated his shirts and pants and the good shoes that weren't anywhere near as comfortable as his sneakers. He imagined he was back in Plymouth Colony, putting on the high-waisted jacket called the doublet and a white linen collar called a fallen band. He put on his knee breeches and shoes. He looked fabulous. When he was ready, it was time to walk two blocks and around the corner to Grandma's. David imagined he and his parents were walking through Plymouth Colony. Now, on the right were newly harvested cornfields, and on the left were two new cottages, and a third was almost finished. They stopped and said hello to two people, Somerset and Swato. Both spoke English, and Swato had shown the pilgrims how to plant their corns and where to fish. Now, when David looked again, he was back on his own street. He saw his neighbor's home, each one with a lawn and a garage. A new house was almost complete. The two Indians were really Jim Halden and his teenage son Jeff. They lived three houses away. Now, when everyone was finished talking, Mom turned to David. "You know what?" she said. "We forgot the carving board. Could you please go back and get it?" Now, David ran home, but as he ran, he imagined he was in Plymouth Colony again. Now, when he reached his door, he noticed a tall figure standing at the top of the hill behind the cottage. David climbed up after him. The hill he was climbing was Fort Hill, overlooking Plymouth. The figure at the top was Captain Miles Standish. He was standing beside one of the five cannons. He was looking out beyond the colony. He was very beautiful. The figure turned. It was Mr. Sanderson. And the wilderness beyond was David's own neighborhood. "Hi," said Mr. Sanderson. David had never seen his teacher out of school before. "Hi," he said. "Why are you here?" "Being up here makes me think of the first Thanksgiving. But the first Thanksgiving was so exciting. It probably wasn't any more exciting than ours. Times have changed. But we're thankful for the same thing the pilgrims were. Our home, our friends, and our family. I still think it would have been fun to be in Plymouth. It would have been, but Thanksgiving today is everything a pilgrim boy would have wished for." "Gee," said David, "I guess you're right. If a pilgrim boy were here, I could even show him cranberry sauce." Mr. Sanderson smiled. "Happy Thanksgiving, David." "Thanks, Mr. Sanderson. Happy Thanksgiving to you, too." Now, David ran down the hill. He got the carving board and ran all the way to Grandma. Her house looked as nice as any cottage in Plymouth Colony. Grandma hugged him and led him inside. And I bet you, boys and girls, you've been getting so many hugs from your grandma, from your grandpa, from your aunts and uncles and your cousins. Everybody's hugging you. And from your parents' friends. "Why, happy Thanksgiving, Dave," said Grandma. "Happy Thanksgiving to you, Grandma." As they reached the dining room, everyone rose to greet them, but there was one unfamiliar guest. To David, he looked exactly like a boy from Plymouth Colony. "This is my neighbor Michael," said Grandma. "His parents are away, and he's spending Thanksgiving with us." Everyone started talking. Everyone seemed to get along. Even baby cousin Catherine wasn't so bad. Now, by the time the turkey was served, David and Michael were friends. And I bet, boys and girls, while you've been sitting there, when you were sitting there at the table, dinner table, waiting for the food to arrive, you were probably hearing so much chatter because everyone was so excited to see each other. Now, it turned out to be a great Thanksgiving, and David knew why. What Mr. Sanderson said was really true. Thanksgiving today wasn't so different from the very first one. It will always be a time for appreciating your friends and family, your home, and your teachers, and we will always be thankful for being together. David couldn't imagine anything better than that. The end.
Wow, how special.
I know, isn't that something too, that it was, we were able to understand what Thanksgiving means to everyone and why is it so important?
Exactly, because sometimes we can just think about Thanksgiving as a time to eat great food, but it's also important to remember it's the giving and sharing and helping others.
And that's why it's also so great to be able to go to bed, because you're able to fantasize some of the things that David was talking about that he saw. And it gives your body a great opportunity to be able to rest your body and your mind, which means that you can have this very vivid imagination.
Imagination can go endless.
It certainly can, and you certainly can be able to do that. So, boys and girls, have you brushed your teeth? Did you get your favorite toy or ducky? Are you in your pajamas? Did you have your bath? Can't forget to do that. And what song do we always play, Aunt Jewel? I'm sorry, I'm calling you Aunt Jewel Starfish. What favorite song do we play when we're getting ready to go into the bed? Do you know?
Boys and girls, do you know? Yes, give me a guess. Yes, you're right. Rubber Ducky by the Cedar Mount Kids.
I got my Superman scrub brush, I got my loofah, I got my shampoo, I got my washcloth, and I got a big old fluffy towel to dry myself when I get out. But you know what else I got to make bathtub time the best time of my day? I bet you know what it is. I bet you got one too. It's my special pal. Let's sing about him now. Rubber ducky, you're the one. You make bath time lots of fun. Rubber ducky, I'm awfully fond of you. Bo-bo-bo-dee-o. Rubber ducky, joy of joy. When I squeeze you, you make noise. Rubber ducky, you're my very best friend. Make my way to the tubby. I find a little fella who's cute and yellow and chubby. Rubber dub dubby, rubber ducky, you're so fine, and I'm lucky that you're mine. Rubber ducky, I'm awfully fond of you. All right, y'all, let's get wet. Rubber ducky, come over here. You are the dirtiest birdie I've ever seen. come on over here. I got to wash behind your ears. What do you mean you don't have any ears? I know it's going to tickle, but I got to get you nice and clean. Know what I mean?
Every day when I make my way to the top, rubber ducky, you're so fine, and I'm lucky that you're mine. Rubber ducky, I'm awfully fond of. Rubber ducky, I'd love a whole pond of. Rubber ducky, I'm awfully fond of you.
Rub-a-dub ducky.
You certainly can't go to bed without the rubber ducky.
Of course not. It's not complete. The evening is not complete without a big bubble bath.
And it doesn't make it fun either when you don't have one.
Exactly.
One of the things that we talked about, we spoke a lot about, is imagination. Imagination sometimes brings you to what do you want to be when you get older. Imagination is sometimes you being in a place that you don't want to be in, and it might be not quite as fun, so you pretend that maybe you are on a horse, or maybe you are riding, going down a parade, or maybe you are seeing your best friend in another part of the country, or maybe you are looking and talking to your cousin that you haven't seen in a while, but now it's Thanksgiving and you'll be seeing your cousin very soon. And I
yes,
don't know.
I have heard so many fun stories. Even leading up to the time of Thanksgiving, I would have my little friends who would ask me, what do you do for Thanksgiving? Or who's coming to visit you for Thanksgiving? And it's just a great way to talk to friends, new friends and old friends, about their shared experiences. So one of my little friends was asking me what I did, and I asked her, what does she do for Thanksgiving? And she actually has a twin, so I asked both of them. And they said they have 70 people, family and friends, over for a big
wow.
Thanksgiving feast.
Wow, that has to be so much fun.
Yes. Exactly. And that's when they also pick out of the hat to see who's going to be their secret Santa for the prior month. Oh, sorry, for the next month, which is, boys and girls, I know what you are thinking about. It's our holidays. Winter holidays. And
you better be good, right? On, right, Starfish? You better be
exactly.
good.
Exactly.
And not There's, naughty.
Of course, you must be nice to get a great, great gift from the Secret Santa. And next month, boys and girls, we'll have to, do you know all the different holidays in the month of December?
Hmm.
Can you guess? How about you can guess, Anjua, what are the holidays in December?
I would think there's a very special, special person that keeps a list to see whether you are naughty or nice, to see if you treat your brother or sister with a lot of kindness, to see if you even raise your hand when the teacher has a question.
Someone that keeps a list.
Mm-hmm.
Does he check it twice?
Yes, he does, and I think he loves the color red.
Oh, I think I know. Santa Claus, or
right.
as they call him, Saint Nicholas.
Yes, yes, definitely, definitely. It is Santa Claus.
And
you know when? Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to go ahead and list other holidays that I know of because I have friends from all over the world.
Oh, why don't you mention them?
So we talked about Christmas. Another holiday that is celebrated is Hanukkah. And a third one, I'll give you a chance, Aunt Drua. Starts with a K.
Mm-hmm. Kwanzaa.
Yes. There's so many fun-filled holidays in the month of December.
Oh, definitely. And you know what also lets me know that it's coming up is there is a huge parade that happens in New York, and it's been going on for 80 years. And when
Whoa.
You know that happens, guess what is going to happen when you see that?
Lights? Lighting of a tree!
Right, definitely. And knowing that this special event happens every year, and it happens at the in New York City, it is the Macy's Thanksgiving Parade, and they have some very, very special things that happen inside of this parade. Makes it a little bit different than the parade that happens in California and happens in other places in the United States.
Wow.
Do you know what kind of parade this is?
A Thanksgiving parade?
I guess again, Starfish, it is a Thanksgiving parade, but what do they really have in this parade that makes it so special?
Floats?
No, it really makes it unique. Now, the one roses is another parade that we will soon be seeing, too, and that's a lot of fun, too. It's a great celebration there. But this one has another something that I think that all the boys and girls can't wait to when they see it, and they love to have it at birthday parties.
Boys and girls, how about you help me? Can you guess?
Well, I think if you take a deep breath and blow out, you've probably seen this before.
Candles?
Well, I think that we will give you just even a little bit, another clue, a little bit more of, let's see, are we teasing you? Can you guess it? And it started from an imagination of a little boy, and it was balloons.
Balloons!
Yes!
Of course!
When you go to a restaurant, sometimes you get that.
Of course. Balloons are so much fun because they come in all different shapes and sizes, all colors. I just love balloons.
So do I. So do I. Now, I have a book that talks about balloons over Broadway. And it was written by Melissa Sweet. Now, she's a Calcutta Honor winner, and it's a true story of the puppeteer of Macy's Parade. And we even talked about that a little bit when we were reading the story of Oh, What a Thanksgiving. And you can be able to get this book at your local community library and find out what happened. Are you ready, Starfish?
I'm ready. I have my pajamas and my favorite snuggie.
And I already know that little TJ has his pillow pet right next to him. Now, as we said, this is the book is called Balloons Over Broadway. Now, from the time he was a little boy, Tony Sarg loved to figure out how to make things move. And I bet you boys and girls, you are probably like that too. I know that there's someone out there trying to do something, because we also have boys and girls that love to draw. And one of the things that we talked about is imagination. When you go to bed, you can think about all kinds of things. Now, he once said he became a marionette man when he was only 6 years old. Now, Starfish, do you know what a marionette is?
A marionette. Is it something that you put over your chicken? Oh, no, that's marinade.
Right.
What is it, Aunt Jewel?
It's a puppet. Now, I'm sure you've seen puppet shows.
Oh, yes. That reminds me of my movie that I want to see is The Muppet Babies.
Yes, which will be coming out soon.
It came out on Thanksgiving.
It's already out. Now, his father had asked him to feed the chickens at 6:30 in the morning every day. Whoa, that's early. Tony had an idea. What if he could feed the chickens without leaving his bed? Well, he rigged up some pulley and ran rope from the chicken coop door to his bedroom window. That night, he spread chicken feed outside the chicken coop door. Now, the next morning, now this is what he did. Now, the first thing he did was he spread feed the night before. The second thing, he put a pull rope that would reach to his bed. The third thing, he hooked it up to the door of the chicken coop. And then the fourth thing, when he would lift it up, then the chickens would be able to come out and get their food. So the next morning, Tony pulled the rope up, and the door to the chicken coop opened. Now, the chicken ate their breakfast. Tony stayed snug in his bed, and his dad was so impressed never to make Tony do another chore. Wow! Now, when Tony grew up, he moved to London, where he discovered that no one was making marionettes or kids anymore. So out of wood, clothes, cloth, and strings, Tony began to make puppets. He figured out ways to make his marionettes movement so lifelike that they performed as if they were real actors. Word soon spread about that Tony's amazing marionettes. Now, when Tony moved to New York City, the Tony Sarg marionettes began performing on Broadway. That's where the parade happens. Now, in the heart of New York City, in Herald Square, was the biggest store on earth. Now, that was R.H. Macy's department store. Now, Macy's had heard about Tony's puppets and asked him to design a puppet parade for the store's holiday window. So Tony made new puppets based on a storybook characters, then attached them to the gears and pulley to make them move. Doesn't that sound familiar, Starfish? Now, Macy's Wonder Town, that's what it was called. That was the window. When you go to the, right after Thanksgiving, you go to the windows of the big department store and you see all these marionettes all in the window. Now, in Macy's, Wonder Town windows, the Tony's mechanical marionettes danced across the stage as if by magic. All day long, they performed to shoppers and they had to all get a better look to see it. But Macy's had an even bigger job in store for Tony. Now, many of the people working at Macy's were immigrants, and as the holiday approached, they missed their own holiday tradition of music and dancing in the street. Now, Macy's agreed to put on a parade for their employees, and they hired Tony to help. Now, Tony, too, was an immigrant, so he loved the idea of creating a parade based on street carnivals from all over the world. He made costumes and built horse-drawn floats, and Macy's even arranged to bring in bears, elephants, and camels from the Central Park Zoo. Now, the animals joined hundreds of Macy's employees on Thanksgiving Day, and you know when this happened, Starfish? 1924.
Whoa, 1924?
And a lot of you thought the Thanksgiving Day parade just started not too long ago.
I know.
Now, they were winding their way from Harlem to Herald Square. It was a dazzling parade. In fact, Macy's first parade was such a success, they decided to have one every year on Thanksgiving to celebrate America's own holiday. Now, each year the parade grew, but when Macy's brought in lions and tigers, in addition to the bears, elephants, and camels, the animals roared. Can you imagine? The zoo came to you.
Wow.
But that frightened the children. Now, Tony, the president called, can you think of something spectacular?
Can he?
I don't know, but guess what he said when he received the call? He said, okay. Now, Macy's asked Tony to replace the animals. Because, you know, what did we say was happening when the animals were actually there?
They were getting out of the cages?
No, they were scaring the kids with their roars and their sounds and their barks and whatever they did. They were scaring the children.
Oh, yes, it was.
Right. So Tony hoped to replace the animals with some kind of puppet, but his marionettes were less than 3 feet tall. He would have to make much larger puppets in order for them to be seen in the parade. And how could he make them strong enough to hold? Tony knew of a company in Ohio that made blimps out of rubber, the perfect material for any weather. When he called the company and showed them his sketches, they agreed to make what Tony wanted. Still, how could Tony make his big puppets big? Then Tony had an idea from Indonesia, rod puppets in his toy collection. Now, on Thanksgiving Day, creatures were some as high as 16 feet tall, and they spilled into the street, and the crowd yeered wildly. Now, part of the puppets were part balloon. The air-filled rubber bags wobbled down the avenue, propped up by wooden sticks. Now, by now, the sidewalks were so packed with people that only those in the first few rows could really see the parade. So Tony realized that the puppets would have to be even bigger and higher off the ground. And though the sticks helped to steer the puppets, they were stiff and heavy. Now, Tony wanted his balloons to articulate, to move, and to gesture, more like puppets. But how? Now, with the marionette, the controls are above and the puppets are down. But what if the controls were below and the puppets could rise up? Now, during the next year, Tony set his new ideas into motion. Now, this time, he asked a company in Ohio to make balloons out of rubberized silk, as strong as rubber but lighter than rubber alone. So the most important thing that Tony had to do was to fill the balloons, not just but with helium too, but something else. Now, since helium is lighter than air, it would make the balloons rise. Now, once the puppets were completed, they were deflated and shipped back to Tony in New York. Tony did not know if everything would be going as planned. Now, he didn't have the opportunity to try it out. Now, it was still dark on Thanksgiving morning when Tony filled the balloons with helium, tethering them down with sandbags. But 1 p.m., the sidewalks were packed, and the people were ready for the parade. Then, one by one, Tony cut the lines to the sandbags. And the magnificent upside-down marionettes rose to the sky. The tigers were waving to the crowd below, and they were passing Central Park, and they were shimmering and swaying and going down New York City. High above the crowds, they flounced in the afternoon wind, pulling the rope handlers this way and that, yet with every heave and hove, the balloons gestured and articulated like they would wild puppets, and the crowd screamed for more. Now, after the puppets were eased under the L, they ended in front of Macy's at Tony's Wondertown windows. It was a parade New Yorkers would never forget. Tony snagged the puppeteers who loved to figure out how to make things move, and he set up the stage with a little rigging for a puppet to be anything anyone could imagine it to be. And from that day on, everything every Thanksgiving morning, crowds have lined the sidewalk of New York City to see what balloons could rise to the Macy's Parade. The end. And that's how it started.
Wow, I never knew. 1924. I wonder if they still have one float from that time.
I know. Wouldn't that be really special to be able to have that?
Definitely.
But one of the things it did do for the Thanksgiving parade is it made everybody friends from everywhere. People would gather together and talk about it and tell where they came from and what they liked to do. It was a very, very special moment.
Definitely. And all the traveling through from Harlem to Manhattan, that
mm-hmm.
is a long walk. But I feel like that, as you travel and see all the kids watch you on the sidelines and the parents and the families, it just doesn't seem like it's as long because you just see so much joy and happiness through everyone.
That's what makes it so special, and that's why Macy's has it every year, and it seems to get bigger and better each time.
Exactly.
And we want to thank everyone, and I know, Starfish, you want to thank everyone, too, because we're making so many friends, and this is Bedtime Story Hour, and I know that a lot of you have probably already gone to sleep. Now, we usually always play having a friend, but this time we know that you're probably a little tired from hearing the stories, and now you understand what Thanksgiving means and what happens when Thanksgiving comes to town. We have a parade. It's at Macy's. It's the Thanksgiving parade, and we have our relatives, and we go over to Grandma and our family and friends, and we got a chance to find out what Starfish does also for her tradition for family. For
and maybe next time we get to hear a song about traveling to Grandmother's house for Thanksgiving.
That would be really wonderful. I think we heard a little bit of that. And we'll hear some of Like a Star, and then we'll play to Grandma's house.
All right, Just Like a Star, boys and girls.
Just like a star across my sky.
Corinne Bailey Rue.
Just like a lane.
Good night.
Good night, boys and girls. Good night, all.
Feel like I'll never be the same. Just like a song in my heart. Just like oil on my hands, only to love you. Still, I wonder why it is I don't
understand.
Close your eyes. With anyone.
That's dozing off to sleep.
You do it all the time. Blowing out my mind. You got this look I can't describe. You make me feel I'm alive. When everything else is so
bad.
Without a doubt, you're on my side.
And thank you for being our friend with Aunt Jill's Bedtime Story and Vlog and Blake Radio Network.
Over the river and through the woods to Grandmother's house we go. The horse knows the way to carry the sleigh through white and drifted snow. Over the river and through the woods, oh, how the wind will blow. It stings the toes and bites the nose as over the ground we go.
Happy Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks for spending
over
your
the river and through the woods. You
us.
Have a full day of play. Oh, hear the bells ring, ting-a-ling-ling, for it's Thanksgiving Day. Over the river and through the woods, trot past my dapple gray. Spring o'er the grounds is like a hound. Hooray for Thanksgiving Day. Over the river and through the woods, to grandmother's house we go. The horse knows the way to carry the sleigh through white and drifted snow. Over the river and through the woods, oh, how the wind will blow. It stings the toes and bites the nose as over the ground we go.